Welcome to the meeting, a live with service meeting at Europa 2012. My name is Michael, and I'm an alcoholic from Denmark. Hello. This is an AA preamble. Alcoholic Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strengths, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. This only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are all self-supporting, though our own contributions. AA is not allowed with any sects, denominations, politics, organizations, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. About anonymity. Our public relations policy is based on attractions rather than promotions. We need always maintain personal anonymity in the level of press, radio, and film. Thus, we respectfully ask the AA speakers and AA members not be photographed, videotapes, or identified by full name on audio tapes and in published or broadcast reports of our meetings includes that reports on a new media technology such as the internet. The assurance of anonymity is essential in our effort to help other problem drinkers who may wish to share our recovery program with us. And our traditions of anonymity reminds us that AA principles come before personalities. This meeting is recorded. When sharing, please only identify with your first name and the city you are from. This is a panel presentation. We begin with a speaker sharing on the topic for about 40 minutes, followed by open sharings. While the meeting are open for anyone to attend, participation is limited. Those who have to decide to stop drinking. Please welcome to our speakers, Michel, from Czech Republic. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Michael, and I'm from Czech Republic.
Hi, Michael.
For start, I would like to ask you if you please help me and start this meeting with moment of silence for still suffering alcoholic. Thank you. I would like to ask you for one more thing, to be patient and excuse my English, my grammar. I try to my best. And funny thing is that I start to learning English because of service and because of sobriety in AA. So yeah, that's how it was with me. The topic is life with service, and it's really something which touches me deeply. And I have to start with my childhood. I don't like it usually at speakers' meetings, but I will be really short about it. And it's because I, from the kid, like from 6 or 7 years old, we lived at the countryside. We have something like farm, a lot of animals, and a lot of work had to be done there, and my stepfather was a drunkard, so I had to do these things almost every day. So it was like feeding this animal and clean up for them, set up for them, and it was really, really a lot of work and hard work, and I do it from this early age. And what is important for me on it, I'm glad for it. I'm grateful for this. For this period of my life, give me a lot of experience and feelings. But uh, as as alcoholic and as a sick person with a spiritual disease, it always went to extremes. So as a kid, I felt this hard and heavy responsibility and sense for duty, and that I have to be there for help of to my parents and mainly my mother and little brother. So it was really bounding me in this sort of life. So I remember that this feeling when I was at a holiday at my grandmother's, and it was season of harvest, and I realized that my mother is back home, and she has to do this all. She has to do all these things, and she was busy with her two jobs. So yeah, and I wasn't able to enjoy any playing with other kids or just do it what I want. I was like, oh my God, I have to help her, and I'm here, and I should enjoy something. It's not possible. And it was really crazy. I was like 9 years old, and I just felt that way. And why I am saying that is because I start to drinking. I skip to right to that. I start drinking when I was 11 years old. The things changed in the time. We left my stepfather and live in different city or village. But that was also hard life, because our mother was alone for two of us, and we don't have any money. And it, I still felt this responsibility for helping her. And I have jobs for making some money and helping and everything, but my mother gives me more free time, and it came absolutely natural for me to start drinking at my free time. And I was 11 years old, so I bought this my first beer, and I drank it in elevator at the train station. So there is only one level, only one floor. So that was like 15 seconds when the door closed, and an elevator was going up, and I drank like fast, and after that I hid it behind my back, and I still going up and down and drinking this beer, and suddenly I felt different. It was gone. All these feelings, all these responsibilities and sense for duties just disappeared, and it was great. It was great. But like I said before, everything with me came to the extremes. So that was my first and last one beer. And after that I always wanted more. I always wanted more of this. And that feeling from that elevator when I was going up and down, I think I never experienced it again with this really amazing sort of way. Because after that I always get it worse and do it worse. So I still try to help my mother, and I still have these jobs and everything. I save every cent, every penny, every money I save. I wasn't like other kids that I buy some toys or chips or lollipops or everything. I just save this money because I had to help my mother, so I should buy the pens for myself or books to school for myself. And later, from these 11 years, I had to buy drinks for me, because the one beer wasn't enough. So, and in this case, my mind functioned differently. I don't look at the prices. I don't look that I need to do something else with this money. I just wanted to buy that, and I always have enough money because I was the hard worker. So I always had like two jobs at the same time, and I did it. And after that, I just drank. And that was my puberty. That was my growing up from 11 years old. And what was another extreme in this case, that when I was drunk, I really didn't care about my responsibilities and about my duties. And but it wasn't in the in that way like it's helped me and I feel free. It was like oblivion. I just forget it. I just be gone from that. And after that, I start to have regrets, terrible regrets, and my conscience just killing me, because I love my mother and I know that that it's still hard, that this life which we had, and I just cannot bear it. I remember when I was like 12 or 13 years old, and we buy this this pack of beer, like 100 beers, with another three friends of mine, and went for a weekend somewhere. And when we drank it the first night and then the day after, everybody was sick, and nobody from them wanted to continue, only me. But I remember that feeling, that hangover, like emotionally, that I am doing something really wrong. I should be helping. I should be responsible, and I am doing this. And only solution for how to change that feeling was get drunk again. I didn't know anything else, so I did it, and I continued with it for a few more years, and it was getting worse, really. So what I'm saying this all according to the topic is that with progression of my illness and my drinking, it's these feelings of responsibility and wanting to be helpful disappeared at all. They were just gone. I wasn't able to help anybody, and I was unreliable. My mother cannot ask me of anything, because if she did, I probably don't remember that, or I just wasn't able to do that. And that was same thing at school, and later that at my job. I really skipped this. Maybe I don't. Some part. I always was able to figure things out, like at school. I don't pay attention at nothing. I was there like one day at week, and the most of the time I was working, because I need the money for drinking, and after that I was drinking and drunk, so I don't went to the school, but I was able to finish it. I think they give me this graduation only for mercy for them, that they get rid of me. Because, yeah, I did a lot of crazy things there, and there was a shame for whole school at some trip to see. And then, yeah, I ashamed the whole school, and the teachers were, like, trying to get me back to my life, because I was passed out, and I have poisoning from alcohol, because I was drinking like 10 days a row there, and it finished really, really, really bad. So yeah, there was a lot of crazy things which I was able to did when I was drinking. And after that graduation, I got to work. I don't know how. They just came into the school and offered it, and I just, okay, whatever. And I start work there, but I wasn't doing anything. I just go there, sit there with hangover, and after that I just went to the bar, and they don't tolerate it for a long time. Yeah, right. Because that wasn't school. That wasn't teachers. That was my employee. So. Employer, so yeah, that was different, and I started to realize that I have to be responsible again, and I have to do things again, and I wanted to, but like a person, like a citizen or whatever, I was really destroyed. The alcohol took it from me. The alcohol took it all from me, and I didn't know how to start again with it. I wasn't able to stop drinking that at first place. So yeah, that was the main problem. And luckily, like back then when I was 11 years old, I naturally know what I want to do with my free time. Bought a beer and drink. When I was desperate, I naturally know, I don't know how, that I need AA. You know, in Czech Republic, it's different, or it's how it is, and there is really few people who know what AA is and that even exists. But I have it somehow in myself that okay, I'm alcoholic. That was one thing I was sure about, that I'm an alcoholic. Everybody told me around me. Everybody was really upset about it, and they hated me, then hated my drinking, and they love me anyway, and they cannot help me. So one thing what they can do was abandon me. And they did it, and I cannot blame them, because there was nothing else what to do with me. I was really unreliable, and I was isolating myself anyway. So that was happened, and in that moment of deepest desperation of my life and hatred for myself, and after a few attempts for killing myself, I just know that I need AA. So I find the contact for them, and it was in my city, so that was great, and I start to attending there. It wasn't easy that only one person left in my life, like friend from the previous work when I was working before, and he took me at these meetings. He literally bring me there, because I was drunk, laying in bed at my apartment, and I wasn't able to move or anything. So he just picked me up and take me there, and I'm really grateful for this to him. So, and that was my start in AA, and it wasn't the happiest one, because I know in the time that I'm an alcoholic. I haven't any doubt about it, and I was able to relate with everybody there, and with their sharings. But I was, of course, the youngest person there. I was 21 years old, and I still haven't anything for starting the new life, starting to be responsible again and feel and fit in that kind of life which I need to develop, because that old one was destroyed. And I didn't do anything. I just attend these meetings because I was really desperate. But I didn't speak with anybody, and I didn't do any service or steps or attending another things that besides the meetings. So I relapsed after 4 months there, and that was really a lesson for me, unnecessary lesson, and I'm grateful for that as well, because everything what I heard at these meetings came up back to me, and I. Now, and in that time, I know more than there is AA which can help me. In that time I was aware that there is a program of recovery which can change me, and that was what I desperately wanted. That was the final necessary change in my thinking, that I really want to. Absolutely different life. I need to something else. So I came back and I start over, like, absolutely. I find a sponsor right away. I start to work the steps the first step, and because it was necessary, because I don't know what to do else, and that group was really amazing. The people there were really amazing, and that group was functioning and healthy, which is a really rare thing in AA in Czech Republic, I can say, and I'm grateful for that too. So there was a service which was possible for me to do. There was a lot of things which I was able to do, but what I want to say is how it was with my feelings, because I was really alone in that previous life, and I wasn't able to look at the eyes of the people and speak with them frankly and actually at all. In AA is a lot of acceptance, and everybody who came there, the others just loved him because he is there, and that happened to me as well. But I brought that I brought there with myself that hatred for myself, and I wasn't able to accept myself, so I needed to change that, and I needed some tool, some things which can help me with it, and I find out that that's a service. That was a service for group, for meeting, for fellowship as a whole. So I start to wash the glasses and cups, because that was, yeah, somebody have to do that, and it was in kitchen, so I can hide there, and somebody came there and asked me, and I was like cleaning that cup, and I okay good, and but I can felt like I belong there, I am part of it. I don't know how to do that. I was scared and everything, but I was there, and that was important. And I was able to do this. I was able to continue with this. So there was a lot of more service, like beside the cleaning and everything. So that was that necessary tool for me, how to develop and start to feel and use these responsibilities and things which with my life which was there when I was kid, but extremely out of the line. And in AA it's for me about to learn it, how to do it in some sort of balance, some sort of do it in the right way. And I need for that the sponsors and other members and traditions and everything which somehow maintain it, because I am, it's nature for me to do it extremely, and that's not how it works for me. So I need this maintenance, and I need these guidelines. And that was a really big and new thing for me, to be able to listen and follow these things. But I was so desperate that there was nothing other with what I can do. I tried everything before, and so I did it. I continued with it, and it started to work, because that's how it works. That's how my higher power works for me in sobriety, through people, through groups, through fellowship, through program. And the service was like really the most important thing for me, I think, because I find myself there. I was feeling that I can be useful again. I can do something really good, and I can be part of something really good. And It's hard for me to speak about service because I'm used to that when I start to talk what I did. It sounds like I am, you know, like, I don't know that word, so I cannot finish it. But yeah, I'm not used to talk about it. But my sponsor said to me that if you don't talk about it, nobody will know that. And that's true, because that was how I find out that I heard another people talk about what helped them. So yeah, I started to do that, and I wanted to do right now. So I think everything is service in AA, but I think it now. I don't think it before. Sitting on meeting is service? I don't think so. Do it sponsorship? I don't think so. That was what I was thinking, that the service is only to go out there and tell the people that here is AA, and it can help the problem drinkers and anybody who want to stop drinking. And I did it the most. I was going around and tell this and give this message to everybody who was willing to listen and be able to take it. So I think the basic service, which was the really beginning for me, was start a new group. You know, in Czech Republic we have like 45 groups in the whole country, so it's really not much. And I was thinking, what's so difficult about it? Just find some place where we can sit. We had the literature and did a meeting. So there was a lot of city around my home group and my home city. So I just start to write emails, make phone calls, and write there. And I find one place at one city, and we start a meeting there. And it was great. That meeting is still working. So that was the first amazing thing for me, that I can make some difference. I can be part of this fellowship, and I can help to develop it like it was helping to me develop my new abilities in life, new feelings, and regain the responsibilities and all these things. And that service was amazing even because when I was going in this city to this meeting, I usually was there alone at the meeting, because there was no newcomers from the start. But I have literature, and I have steps, and I can did a lot of work for myself in that time. And it was different from being only at my apartment and feel self-pity or something. So I always did when I'm doing service, I always doing something useful for myself, for somebody else. But it's much better than just be alone, closed, isolated somewhere. I am sharing this, even if I'm alone. I am part of this recovery. I'm part of this program. I'm part of this whole fellowship, and that's a really great realization for me, because I'm alone right now, and I can be alone anyway, in any time. So, but I know what to do with this, and I don't know. I know how to make this right. So after this group, we start a new group in different city, and another, and I was there. The service structure at Czech Republic was two guys in the capital city sitting in some basement and directing everything in the whole country. And they absolutely don't listen to any group conscience or something. They just don't care. They know how to do it right. So But the fellowship in Czech Republic was growing, and there was more of us. So, and we don't like it. So we try to spoke with them, and they just ignore us and other stuff. So there was a revolution. I didn't know that in that time. I was told that after that, yeah, you was at this revolution in your country. And what? It was just we just wanted to start do it right these things. So yeah, it was revolution probably. So we started a new service structure. We moved our general service office. We found the board of trustees, the service board, and I was, you know, I have like 10 months of sobriety, and I was the first trustee. So it was crazy, but everybody trusts me. Because I was doing a lot of thing, and we start to publish our national magazine. I am the responsible chief for that. So there was a lot of space for how to bring people to fellowship and how to unite the groups in Czech Republic and other stuff. We started committees for literature, for public information, for everything. I was member of each of these committees, and I still am in some of them, because there wasn't so many people. And but it's amazing how it's getting better and how it's working and how it's functional. So and that was the absolutely important part of my life, this, because I didn't know what to do in my life, and the AA, the service for AA, gave it all to me. And the most unbelievable thing is that it works for my personal life as well. I never didn't care much for what I'm doing at work. I just go there, did what they say and get a paycheck, and I wasn't ambitious in it. Why? So, but it's changed also, because they can rely on me, and I was good worker or something, so they appreciate me and it's getting better, and I was given this opportunity to work in another office, in another state, in other countries. So like right now I'm living in Netherlands because of it, and it's really amazing, and it's great experience and everything, and it's all because of AA. I start to learn English, how I said before, because of English, because of AA. We had like only two books in Czech language, so and I was eager to get more, so I had to learn it. I had to read it in English. So I start to learn it, and everything what I have right now in my life is because of AA, because of sobriety, and because of this amazing fellowship. So I am really, really grateful for everything what is going on here and in the whole world. Which is united by these principles and amazing stuff, and life with service. It's a great thing that I now live in Netherlands, but I am far away from my home group and from all this stuff which I was used to do. I was doing public information meetings for schools. Because my hardest drinking, my worst drinking was at high school, so I loved to go to these schools and speak with these kids and told them my story and everything. So I missed that, and I missed to go into rehab centers, spoke with patients and these really suffering alcoholics. It's amazing experience for me, and I really need it to relate with this disease still, and a lot of other stuff. I was I'm a member of steering committee right now, so we are preparing our conferences and conventions in Czech Republic, and I still do this magazine of ours, and that's great work. It's amazing work, because I receive these lot of stories, and I work with them, and I heard them, I listen to them, and I can relate to them and pass them on, you know, share them with people through this magazine, and I'm in touch with so many great people, so that all so making my life so richer, so better, that I cannot imagine it without it. So, and the service is for me the most nature thing in my life right now, and it was from beginning, but it wasn't so easy, and it's get better, and it bring me back these important skills, and you know, the good character things which I need for to be better human being and to be the citizen. I still don't vote for politics, so I don't know if I'm the correct citizen, but I try to do something good for society, and it's important to me, and it's helping to me back. So everything what I did for somebody else or for this fellowship was rewarding, is rewarding for me as well, and even more. So yeah, it's kind of still selfish program, because whatever I did, it's helped me, and it's still helping me. So it's changed my life, and that was what I needed, to absolutely completely change that horrible thing what I was calling my life. So yeah, whoa, okay. So I don't know if I share everything what I wanted, because I wasn't prepared. I wasn't able to prepare for this. But I think that it's really in me that the service is so important for my recovery and for to get back my life and start over with it, and how to learn the things which alcohol took away from me, and it was really gone. It was destroyed. Everything was destroyed by alcohol in my life, and I had to find out how to build up again, and that's what fellowship program and service did for me. So I'm really grateful for that. I really appreciate your patience with my sharings, and that you are here. And thank you very much. Thanks.
Thanks, Michelle.
The meeting is now open for questions and answers or comment. We ask that you limit your share to 3 minutes. Who would like to begin? Thank you.
For one of the meetings, I volunteered. And somebody said, well, you haven't got 3 months sobriety yet, because I didn't have 3 months at that time, so you really can't do that according to the way that we've set up our internal guidelines. And then one of my, not exactly friends, it was one of those who thought that I was obnoxious, difficult, etc., which I probably was, he said, well, you know what, I will have the key. I come to every meeting anyway. I will, in theory, be responsible for the meeting and have the key for the door and open it, and you can chair. And I can tell you, I was so grateful that he let me do that, because that helped me staying sober, because for 3 months I was then chairing a meeting. Then later on, I did other jobs in the group I was in those days. Later on, I will not use the term promoted, but there's something above the group. There's we had the tri-borders group, and then we had the region. So I went there and did some service, and the last service I did at that kind of level was in the Central European region as a region rep, which I will tell you was very rewarding in the sense that of all the alcoholics I met there, a lot of them, when they shared their experience, strength, and hope, I could learn a lot. Huh? That's one thing which for me means I will always encourage people who are willing to do service, do as much as you can, because certainly I got more out of it than I gave. That's at least my evaluation. Then there's another thing I was thinking about, is that actually I do believe that going to a meeting still means I do a kind of service. Because when I came back from my time outside Denmark and I came back to here, I always had the principle I want to try to do at least one meeting a week, because otherwise I'm convinced I would drink again. So I do that. And I have had a number of years. And one of the things which I've heard mentioned many times now is we do sometimes miss the so-called old-timers, that is, people with a longer term of sobriety. And I do believe that it is important that in any group there's a good mix of 24-hour people, months people, years people, because no matter how we look at it, everybody can give something to each other, right? The one that comes in after a drunk, he or she reminds me of what it was like years ago when I drank. And I can share my experience over the years, and they can take what they would like, yeah? Because there's one rule I always apply in AA. It's a place where you can steal from other people's experience as much as you can, as long as it keeps you sober. Thanks for listening. And thank you, Michael, for your share.
Thank you.
My name is Liz A. I'm an alcoholic. I spoke recently, and I surprised myself, because I heard myself say that I hope my sobriety has value to more people than me. And that's what I'm reminded of in this meeting. This movement, this gradual transformation of the person that arrived here to the person who is here now. From being in an attitude of taking to being in an attitude of giving. And I totally join the chorus of any activity. It is possible that any activity is service. However, I think it is a value that my attitude is a serving attitude. Somehow I have the hunch that this is part of what heals me. And at the same time, it's also a way to measure how recovered am I today. The good thing about very structured, disciplined, ever so often service is that it gives a very regular opportunity to realize how recovered am I now. The good thing about the spontaneous service is that I start recognizing that I get wealthier and wealthier and wealthier on the inside, since more and more often my attitude is an attitude of how does my recovery serve more people than me? And it touches me, because I didn't have the ambition arriving here ever. I don't care who else it touches that I'm sober. And now I care. That's what you people do. Yeah. And I so love it. An aspect of service to me is somehow to make an effort to materialize the principles. And that can look in so many unique ways. And that's also how I appreciate that there is no one right way of doing it, because my unique way is equally valid to all the other ways. You made me so well that I've been able to read and remember for a couple of years now, which means I started school some years ago. And the first person I met in there is another member of the program right there. And I am certain that it has been an act of service for me to be there. And that's not me doing it. It's more that I am participating in this which is doing it. Mm. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. When I joined AA some time ago, there were only six members in the group. And four of them were, or rather five of them were, foreigners, and only one Maltese. And so as soon as I came in, I was the youngest one, of course, and they forced me into service. They said, okay, after 3 months you'll become the secretary. And then later, the other Maltese member told me, let's open a Maltese group, Maltese-speaking group. I said, who, with me and you? I said, yes. And thank God, it was like that, because now, not that we are many, but we are over 100 Maltese, and for us it is a very, very good number because of the situation that we face, and other things. And there is another island of Malta, and there was a patient over there. Let's call him a patient, an alcoholic who. A doctor friend of mine called me and said, I hear you are in AA. I said, yes. I said, I have this patient of mine who is very sick, and come and talk to him. And so I went. And that was another service. We started a group on Gozo as well. Now there are four groups in Gozo. And also, another important thing in service that we made is the translations. We have our own language, and it's already very difficult to speak it, let alone translate from American English into Maltese. And so we managed to translate the big book, Daily Reflections, 12 and 12, and these are very helpful things. Having said that, probably one of my most important service duties was, in fact, washing cups. And because that made me feel small. That made me feel that, you know, I, because of my intelligence, I tended to be, you know, do service in a high position. When, in fact, that was really, and I still wash the cups when I can. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Chris. I'm an alcoholic. I'm from Bristol in England. And it's wonderful to be here. And Michael, thank you so much. I identified with all sorts of things. And especially, in a way, your upbringing, although mine was different, but I ended up with this sense of responsibility. And I brought that into AA, in a way. And when I came to AA and I got sober, people gave me jobs to do, and I'm so grateful for that they didn't let me just sit about. And exactly like you, I retreated to the kitchen and washed the ashtrays and washed the cups, and it did me the world of good, because I hated myself, and by doing something for other people, I started to feel all right about myself. And I slowly got into doing all kinds of other things. I would give people lifts in the car from the mental hospitals to the meetings. And I started to feel I'm actually quite a useful sort of person sometimes. And I built up over the time I've been in, I built up a bit of self-esteem, which I had none of at all. And I felt better about myself. And I'm... In a way, I'm quite envious that you had to be involved in so many things, on every little subcommittee and doing absolutely everything that was going about, because there's so few people about, and it's some of the art of getting sober and staying sober is to hand stuff over as well, isn't it? I divested myself of a lot of jobs, which is, I think, people are very grateful for that. So you need to hand stuff on and hand it over. And I'm ever so impressed with how when Bill Wilson died, The system was all in place, where it was a seamless handover, really, from Bill and Bob, the co-founders, to the conference in the States, and it just sort of smoothly went on. I loved listening to you. It was like, you know, it's like being some sort of pioneer. It was like Bill and Bob in those early days. And I love reading about the history of AA and just the struggles they had and the difficulties and all those personality strifes that would come in as well. So I'm very grateful. It's a lovely meeting. Thank you very, very much.
I'd just like to thank you, Michael, for your share and everybody else. It's been a good meeting. I remember coming to a convention here in Copenhagen called CPH12, and I was probably 2 weeks sober, maybe a month sober. And I expected to come there and sit there and, you know, just kind of get a free ride. And they handed me a broom and told me to clean the area that we'd be having a meeting before people came in. And I remember thinking, this is why they brought me here, to clean. You know, they kind of coerced me into coming here to clean their room for them, because I was still, you know, very shaky and identifying myself as an alcoholic, and the ego depletion and the anger I felt when they handed me that broom was very it was obvious to me that this was a job that I shouldn't have to do. But as I learned about service in AA, I learned that it was something that I actually got more as I served more. And I was fortunate enough to go to Afghanistan to work, and we started a meeting there. And there wasn't a meeting before we had came, and it was in this air base in Afghanistan. And thinking back on it now, I don't know if I could have stayed sober there without these meetings and being a part of starting these meetings, and when there isn't a meeting to begin one. And if I didn't like something about AA, you know, I need to be an example of something that I do like in AA. And these are all things that the service through a couple of years of sobriety now that I'm learning is that, rather than be a critic of things, be an example of what you think it should be. And these are all things that I did not learn on my own. I've learned through coming to these meetings and learning a new way of looking at life and a much more open way and a much more compassionate way of living. And I think service is so much a part of that, and I'm very grateful to be sober today, and grateful that you guys are all here. Thanks.
Thank you. This is all the time we have. Thank you for everyone for being a part of this meeting. Now I will read the 9 steps promises from the big book of Alcoholic Anonymous. If we are painstaking about the phase of our development, we be amazed before we are healthy thought through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will be complete, the word sincerely, and we know the peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of unlessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Far off people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will be instinctively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us.
We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Is these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. The next meeting in this room will be how to handle a wet meeting. The following next meeting in other rooms will be room 8, Marty will be the Norwegian meeting. In room 2, Hanky will be in tradition 10 to 12 meeting. In room 3, Louis will be in Al-Anon meeting, our favorite slogan. In 4, Billy would be in the step 9, eller 8 to 9 meeting. In 5, Bobby will be in spiritually meeting. In room 7, Abby will be why are outside issues meeting. You can also find the meeting scale on the screens in the entrance of the different rooms. If you have any questions, please talk to anyone in the Europa 2012 registrations or information table. Please now join us in the sincerity prayer. Thank you.
Thank you very much.